There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along on this Monday. New week to work with. And if you look outside, gorgeous day today. And it's really a big departure of where we were on Friday night. Joining us in just a second, staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams talks about some of the records set with the front that came through Friday night into Saturday morning. Do that in just a second. Setting up later this hour, David Chipman, President Biden's nominee to run the ATF. You got a person who is actively lobbying and working currently to limit gun rights that is the nominee for the head of ATF. We'll talk about that and break that down coming up this hour. Also in hour number two of the show, Bob Clem joins us again. He's been, last time he was on, he was talking about his documentary about blues, Alabama blues, what came out of the Black Belt. We think about Mississippi Delta blues or Hill Country blues. He was talking about the Alabama blues. Well, his latest work is all about Admiral Sims and the war of the literal and figurative war he was conducting internationally during the Civil War. And we'll discuss that with Bob Clem, filmmaker, coming up in hour number two. And without ado, our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams, joins us now to... did somebody say what the hail to you this morning? Did you already hear that one?
That was incredible.
I mean, you know, I watched, you know, Washington coming through overnight, Friday night into Saturday. The lightning show was unreal. I want to get to that. But the story that had me talking, I didn't realize it because we didn't get hail where we were, but friends of mine that were in South Baldwin were sending pictures of, I don't know, like a fist-sized hailstone. I mean, Dr. Bill, this was wild.
Yeah, the measurement that we have for the greatest measurement was 4 inches in diameter, which is almost a softball size. And that's the largest hailstone that's ever been reported in Baldwin County. And as far as the National Weather Service area that they cover, which is southeast Mississippi, the western panhandle of Florida, and, of course, southwest Alabama, that ties the record for the largest in that area, which is actually recorded way up in the interior of southwest Alabama. So it's very unusual. It's unusual in this part of the country here along the Gulf Coast to see hail like that because mainly the freezing level is so much higher here than it is farther up to the north, and obviously a lot lower out on the Great Plains and the Midwest, where they get the large hail. So it's an unusual feature. And along with that, of course, Sean, we had some very high winds. And down on Dauphin Island, there were some recordings of 79 miles per hour out on the western part of the island, the eastern part, 75 miles per hour, and winds around 70 recorded in Gulf Shores. So some very, very strong straight-line winds. We didn't see any kind of rotation in many of these thunderstorms, which would indicate the possibility of tornadoes. But it looks like most of the damage is from straight-line winds that were very, very powerful. And those storms were huge, and with the freezing level a lot lower than normal in the atmosphere, has a chance of developing these large hailstones. Because when they first start coming down, they get hit by updrafts, they go up, get a new coating of ice, then they begin to fall, then get pushed back up, get another coating, and it gets larger and larger and larger until finally they come down. And so that's what happened.
So, that's what I was wondering, because I personally have seen probably the biggest hailstone, like the size of a quarter or something like that, you know, right. about that ballpark. But you're saying that it starts off as that size and it just keeps getting added to? I mean, it keeps, like, pushes it back up and gets more water? How does that work?
Well, you initially get water droplets, then they freeze, and they get bounced around with a new coating of ice. And those large hailstones, if you were to nicely cut them right through, nice cut through that hailstone, you will see a ring pattern. And that ring pattern is new formations of ice as it gets larger and larger. And finally, it gets into an area where it can fall completely without being elevated again and come on down to the surface.
Okay, so it's like it's being built and built and built, and all of a sudden there's a, Dr. Bill doesn't like this when I use it, but like a trap door that opens that lets them fall? I mean,
right. The upper air currents are so strong that it keeps it up in the cloud or bounces around, you might say, up and down, and it gets new coating. Then finally, it's heavy enough and gets into an area where the updraft, cannot support it, and down it comes.
It's not only that it's that size. You've often pointed out too. Look at those hailstones. Like if it wasn't enough to have something hurtling down, right? The big block ice. It's got spikes on it.
Well, you don't want to be hit by that. You want to be outside. But it's going to dent cars. And the folks out in Oklahoma and the Great Plains area, when the thunderstorms develop, if they can, they immediately get their vehicles in the garage, if they have one. because you're going to get damage out there, because hail is very, very common, large hailstones.
So what was it? I mean, I was kind of trained to think that if a front is has that much severe weather associated with it, that the difference between the air masses must be very, very great. And it really, I mean, it was a change in air masses, but it wasn't 50 degrees or something like that.
Yeah, it all depends on the upper air. And in this case, if there's a low pressure loft, kind of a wave that comes over the area in the upper atmosphere up at 40,000 feet up. Helps to produce the lift at the surface, and those thunderstorms can grow to enormous heights, 40,000-50,000 feet and higher. And that's a lot of room up there for those hailstones to occur. Down here, most of the time when they have summer thunderstorms, they don't reach that height. The freezing level is very high, and you don't really see much in the way of hail during the summertime. Do would be very, very small hail, and you just get the torrential rain, of course, and the downbursts of cool air that come down to the surface. Now, we had downbursts, of course, in these thunderstorms, and they were powerful because we're looking at air that's rushing down from 20, 30, 40, 50,000 feet coming down to the surface and then spreading out when it gets to the surface, and that's almost explosive as that air rushes out from the storm.
Yeah, Dr. Bill, I see, and it may just be anecdotal. I have not done the full research here, but it seems like most of the stories I've gotten have been people that were on the coast, right? They were on the coast somehow. They were down at Gulf Shores, Orange Beach. I've heard stories from over at Panama City. Was there anything to that, or was that just bad luck of the draw?
You know, most of the hail, the large hail, was right down there on the coast. And
why was that?
But we do have damage reports, wind damage reports, quite a bit to the north of Mobile and on up into, I believe, Washington County and neighboring counties up there, quite a bit of damage, and it appears to be straight-line winds.
But the hail, were there hail reports up there like they were on the coast?
Nothing like down on the coast. Yeah, down on the coast, the storms achieved tremendous heights down there and resulted in these large bursts of hail.
All right. Well, this is one literally for the record books, correct?
It definitely is, yes.
We imagine next year's Mobile Weather Marine Almanac, some pictures of hail will be in there?
It could very well be the case, yes.
All right, Dr. Bill. In short, I know people just heard your forecast, but I can't have you on and not do this. How are we looking for the rest of the day and tomorrow?
Yeah, we've got a nice day today. It's going to be in the low 80s this afternoon. And tomorrow, we're going to start to get a southerly wind. That means more moisture in the air, so you could see some fog develop tonight. And then tomorrow, there's a chance of a few showers forming in the afternoon. And then it looks like Wednesday is our best chance for rain now this week with another front coming in. I don't expect any weather that we had like on Saturday morning. But we will see some showers and maybe a few thunderstorms on Wednesday.
All right, Dr. Bill, we appreciate that update, and I'll be listening tomorrow morning bright and early.
Okay, Sean.
There he is, our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams. Yeah, of course, you hear him twice an hour, every hour here at FM Talk 106.5, but I love his live discussions with Dan and Dalton. Mobile Mornings, check that out. All right, 12:16, coming back, President Biden's nominee to run the ATF. I'm going to do a little dive into this when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:20, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Welcome back. Phone number, text line, the same, one in the same. Efficiency, 343-0106, 343-0106. Website, fmtalk1065.com, facebook.com, Instagram, Twitter. We're all over those places, so check us out there. From the text line here, a lot of more about the hail thing. I did not get the hail. I know that the family was down at Dolphin Island. They said, the business said it was like the worst she's ever seen the wind down there. I'm like, come on. And then Dr. Bill said 79 on the island, so... Yep, well, I guess so. Eric says, got plenty of hail and cantonment, you know, over in Florida. Nobody's mentioned that. Well, you just did, so good. Wally says, I was anchored at Fort McRae, so that's Pensacola, right? Yeah, at Fort McRae Saturday morning. Wind was so bad, it was tearing my pulpit apart. Ouch. Like glass work, you got to get done. I had to let out more scope, so we was talking about, y'all, as you let more line out there on the anchor. And let's see, water rose 3. Without my dang glasses here, let me lean in. No, that's 3 feet. I thought 3 inches, 3 feet in a matter of minutes. Ended up on the beach. It was bad out there. Ooh, I'm looking at the pictures now. Ouch. Ouch, ouch. So, man. Yeah, and a friend of mine had a camper down at, I know he's one of many, but this is the one I knew, had a camper down at the Gulf and just wrecked down there. So, you started thinking about, you know, I don't know who I was talking to about this a second ago. Oh, it was Jeff Poore during the news break. Jeff and I were talking. I said, you know, I used to go camping a lot this time of year on Barrier Islands, like go over to Petty Boy or be on the west end of Dolphin Island or something like that, because it's a time of year that, like, you could sleep at night because it'd cool off, right? I mean, as much as I'd like to go camping in the summertime, it's not down here because you lay in bed and sweat. Imagine being out there in a tent when that thing hit. Wow. All right. We're going to talk about this the rest of the hour and most of the rest of the hour. So this was announced last week. Then you heard a little discussion I had, and I had talked with Jeff Stone from Stone Arms about it, about President Biden's nominee to head the ATF, or as President Biden called it the other day, the AFT. So that'd be alcohol, firearms, and tobacco versus alcohol. I mean, you know, what are you going to do with acronyms? Let me just say this, going into it, that it is at the pleasure of the executive branch of doing this. So it's not illegal or, you know, anything like that. But point out the kind of person that you're nominating in that position. Sure, you would have somebody, if you're the executive branch, which is pretty open about being, I will say, anti-Second Amendment. Some people will say curtailing the Second Amendment. Could have that argument. You'd expect them to have somebody who wasn't a Second Amendment champion. You'd expect, I think, somebody who would be kind of neutral on it or maybe a little left of center. Well, David Chipman, who's been with the ATF, he was with them for 20-something years, who is now working with the Giffords group, like, right? So, and of course, in reference, it's the Giffords Law Center. And I guess this is, I don't know, she financed it or it came up around what happened to Gifford in the shooting, but that he works with the Giffords Law Center, which is an anti-Second Amendment group. So here's the person you're nominating to go to this position who is coming into it as not a maybe, but a for sure anti-Second Amendment advocate. In addition, and we'll get some more detail on that in just a second, but in addition, what's catching a lot of people's attention about David Chipman is things he said on social media. Although we can't get all the things he said on social media because he shut down and blocked out and, put on ice. What is the thing they used in Empire Strikes Back? Carbonite. He sealed in carbonite his Twitter feed. Okay, those have been made not available, although somebody's got their hands, I think, on an old archive one. This person is a gun control advocate. He has pushed and pushed and pushed for more limitations on Second Amendment rights and makes fun of people that are advocates or want to support the Second Amendment. Okay. In addition to that, what's got more attention, I guess, on the last few days on cable news and on the internet is what David Chipman said about Waco, the tragedy at Waco. Now, this was during a Reddit Ask Me Anything forum, right? So like Alan Seals did so famously, you know, you go on there and they could ask him anything. So he was on this Ask Me Anything Reddit forum, and I guess somebody, I don't know what the leading in question is, but he answers this way. And this story from the New York Post said, David Chipman has multiple partisan posts on social media on gun control. I'm focusing on this one, y'all, not because it's partisan. We can get to all those. It's because, well, let me read it to you. Quote, at Waco, cult members used two 50-caliber Barretts to shoot down two Texas Air National Guard helicopters. It is true we are fortunate that they are not used in crime more often, end quote. So here's a person who is the president's nominee to run ATF who said at Waco, cult members used two 50-caliber Barretts to shoot down two Texas Air National Guard helicopters. It is true we are fortunate they are not used in crime more often. Now, let's go into some facts here. Branch Davidian members did shoot at helicopters during some people call it the siege, the operation at Waco. But the helicopters did not crash. They did not go down. And also, the 50-caliber Barretts were never recovered if they were there. They were never... never found any. But he's on Reddit, and he's pretty sure that these two Texas Air National Guard helicopters were shot down by Barretts that were never found, and the helicopters didn't go down. Now, this is the person who is going to be, if confirmed, running the ATF. Now, wouldn't you want like the ATF to be in the business of enforcing the law? You let the legislative branch, scary as it is, legislative branch is supposed to set the gun laws, right? Even though it's being done now through an executive order, and it'll be taken to the courts afterwards, like we do so many things. Both parties do this. It's not just the province of Democrats. But you have an arm of the federal government that is supposed to be in the enforcement business, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms and Explosives, which I've pointed out are the first four things on every year's Christmas list for me. This person who says something like that is who the president thinks is the right person to run this. We come back from the break. I'm going to play some of him in his own words, David Chipman, when he talks about his opinions on people that bought guns this last summer, what he thinks you should do, how he makes fun of you. Also, what he thinks is just the okay number of rounds that a magazine can hold. This is the person who is not just, oh yeah, they lean towards curtailing Second Amendment rights. This person is, that's his gig. And well, let's flip it around for a second. And yes, this is in the world of whataboutism. But if a Republican president nominated the head of a gun or ammo manufacturer or the head of the NRA to the top position at the ATF, do you think there would be me as a strong Second Amendment advocate and a conservative? I'd have an issue with that too. But when it's coming from the left, what's the top story about President Biden today? Oh, his dog needs to get some training. That's a major training for the Biden dog. That's what's up. Okay, we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Phone number, text line combined, 343-0106, 343-0106. Want y'all to say hello to my buddy Larry Kirby at LCM. And let's talk about new week to work with. And you're always looking for inventory as well as selling inventory.
Absolutely. You know, like we talked about, we're low on inventory. Although the inventory we have is a great mixture of what everybody wants, SUVs, cars, trucks, two wheels and four wheels. So we got the right mix. We just need more numbers.
You know, I've told people in the past when my parents were looking to sell a mid-size SUV, we came to you and they got the best deal with you. So if somebody is looking at maybe even getting into a new vehicle, they probably ought to come see you.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, I got a call earlier today and they're bringing me two vehicles tomorrow to look at to buy. So, look, you know, good local vehicles at low miles, one owners, and they just don't have the need for them anymore.
Right. That's how you get the inventory, and also people check out the inventory you have and tell folks how to find you. They want to come check you out, check out those vehicles, or talk to you about selling theirs.
Come see us at the corner of Highway 90 and Plantation Road, online at lcmotorcars.com. They can like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
Larry Kirby checking in from LCM. All right. And text line busy here. Let's see. Some of these I can't read, but once again, I wouldn't expect. Now let's talk about what's real here. I would not expect, because you'll see people say silliness. I would not expect President Biden to nominate somebody who was vocal, two-way advocate, you know, without limits. All that, I wouldn't expect that, right? That would be silly. That wouldn't happen. But to have somebody that's actively right now, before he has the kids, actively working with the Giffords Law Center. This is the person you're going to have running the ATF. It goes back to this idea that we're not going to do the job. Can't just do the job of a bureaucrat and enforce laws. No, you got to be active. You got to be activated. You got to have your own opinion about these things and then push those through the bureau. I mean, once again, if a Republican president had nominated the head of a gun and ammo manufacturer to head the NRA, head of the NRA or somebody to run top position at ATF, I would question that. But that's exactly what's being done here. So first thing, if you just caught up with this, so we talked about the fact that Chipman's making claims that a pair of Barrett 50s were used to shoot down two Texas Air National Guard helicopters at Waco. Now, let's talk about what's fact. The Branch Davidians there, they shot at the helicopters. They did. They did not shoot them down. This is like a Brian, what's his name? You know, the NBC guy. He's out there somewhere. They got him on some late night show. But, we made up the story. I mean, it's just not true that they shot down the helicopter. But the person who has been tapped to run the ATF, that's what he's saying. Saying that's the thing. So get some audio. This was on Tucker Carlson's show the other night on Fox News. Some audio here he is, Chipman in his own words. Okay, Chipman in his own words, and he's here. Let's go ahead and roll that. Cut one.
They might think that they're diehard, ready to go, but unfortunately, they're more like Tiger King, and they're putting themselves and their families in danger. And so what I would suggest is for those people who were first-time gun owners, if they did go out and buy a gun, I would secure that gun locked and unloaded and hide it behind the cans of tuna and beef jerky that you've stored in a cabinet and, only bring that out if the zombies start to appear. And I don't think they are.
Okay, so there you go. If during this last summer, you're a first-time gun owner. You bought a gun. He assumes that you are like in a bunker, right? The only way you would have been able to come up with the idea to possibly, with what you were seeing, to buy a gun for self-protection means you are some conspiracy theorist in a bunker. So once again, this is the person, David Chipman, that President Biden has tapped for the head of the BATF. Or as people call it, old schoolers like me, the ATF. So he is sure that if you got the gun, then there's something wrong with you mentally, right? I mean, that's his... 30-second clip. Once again, this is his comment. If you bought the gun, this is what he thinks of you.
They might think that they're diehard, ready to go, but unfortunately, they're more like Tiger King, and they're putting themselves and their families in danger. And so what I would suggest is for those people who were first-time gun owners, if they did go out and buy a gun, I would secure that gun locked and unloaded and hide it behind the cans of tuna and beef jerky that you've stored in a cabinet. And, you know, only bring that out if the zombies start to appear. And I don't think they are.
Okay, so there he is. That's, once again, this is the person who has been tapped to run ATF. In addition as well, speaking of modern sporting rifles and AR platforms, he said back in October of 18, he was in an interview with the Hill.com political website, The Hill, said that AR-15 should be treated, quote, just like machine guns, end quote, meaning they should be banned. Remember what I told y'all? That they're not this high idea that they're going to come to your home and take it. It's not how it's going to happen. It's this idea of changing the definition of things you legally obtained. It happened with bump stocks when President Trump was in office. It's happening now. Pistol braces are the big boogeyman on this one, right? Pistol braces are, it's going to change everything if we get rid of the inanimate polycarbonate thing you attach to a handgun. It's not the handgun because they don't want to go after that. Actually, there's cities now that they're not going to go after handguns that have huge handgun crime. But no, going to go after the pistol brace. But what they do is redefine something you already have and make it illegal. It's not that you can't buy it going forward. That's true as well. But that thing that you legally obtained, be it the bump stock, the pistol brace, whatever it is, and the reason they go after this is not many people have them, right? It's easier. It's easier to go, you pick off at the edges here, where people are like, I don't care. It's not a gun I have. It's not an item I have. So what do I care? They go after that. Well, now, the same move for AR-15s. And the definitions of what they're calling assault rifles are, you know, just about as scattered as the 94 Clinton gun ban. So they would redefine those semi-automatics to fall under a tax stamp, and either you would have to get your tax stamp individually or through a trust, or you would have to surrender those items. This is something that he said, I mean, Chipman said in 18, that AR-15 should be treated just like machine guns. In other words, they should fall under the tax stamp, which is exactly what I've told y'all since October when it was rolled out in the Biden gun plan. All right. And on magazine capacity, here's Chipman. He was on, I think he was on MSNBC on this clip. Go ahead and roll that one.
And high capacity means what kind of numbers are we talking about?
Yeah, so I think the consensus has been around 10. And there are a number of reasons why.
So 10 and above would be high?
Yeah, well, I think, let's say 10 and below are okay or reasonable. Above would be regulated.
All right, so that's not just 30-round magazines. Was 10, which apply to so many, many handguns, other firearms are out there. Okay, so I mean, that's so 10. So Chipman's opinion, 10. Here's the problem, whether it is or isn't, that is the job of the legislature. That is the job of the lawmaking branch. And I will fight in that lawmaking branch through my voice and through people I support to keep things Second Amendment friendly. But it is not the job of a bureau chief to make the law. So that's where we're looking at right now. That is the latest here. This is David Chipman, nominee to run the ATF. You know, for all the hand-wringing, gnashing of teeth that happened when it was President Obama for 2 terms. Nothing really happened limiting gun rights during the Obama years. But his VP, who's now the P, that may be different. Coming right back, more Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. Segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Trey at 1-800-GOT-JUNK, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. You've got the junk. Yeah, I mean, the thing they can't do for you is to identify the junk. That's on you. You identify the junk. Then Trey gets rid of it. That's how it works. It could be at your home, storage unit, could be your office, house you're getting ready to sell. You got a bunch of, what the heck do I do with this? Well, go online or get on the phone and contact 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They show up, they quote you a price, you say yes, they get it, and they're gone. You see their trucks all over town, it's because they're doing jobs for neighbors and friends of yours out there. Let them do the same thing for you. Go online, set that appointment. And it's a real appointment, not some like, oh, they'll be there the week of April 20. No. They work with you to find a day that works for you and a window of time that works for you, and they book a real appointment. That's when they show up. And they quote you the price. You say yes, they get to work and get it done. So go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Big national company, you know the name, but individual franchise that's been doing it for 13 years here in Mobile and Baldwin County. A buddy of mine, give him a call. Trey with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, tons of text here. Yeah, so Larry was saying ammo that holds more than X grams of gunpowder will be illegal. Wait for it. Yeah, and the ammo manufacturer, too. Remember last week I talked about the biggest, I think, I'm talking about the nominee here, Chipman, for ATF. The biggest factor here is if they change the protection gun manufacturers have from being sued for a criminal using a weapon that was made by that gun manufacturer, right? So right now there's a protection that if a person legally obtains a gun, or even if they criminally obtain it, but the gun manufacturer legally sold the gun, then if that gun's used in a crime, the gun's used to murder somebody, to maim somebody, the gun manufacturer can't be held liable for that gun being used that way. Seems to make sense, right? It's still, if you have a gun that malfunctions, right? Something in the gun, the machining was incorrect or something like that, and you have a faulty gun, it hurts somebody. Those lawsuits can still happen. But it would shut down the gun industry if every person that was, you know, was shot or had a crime committed with a gun could go back and sue the manufacturer of that gun. Well, they're trying to undo that. That's the biggest. That is the, it's the big white whale, right? That's the Moby Dick here of this. But along the edge, swimming, is like a nominee who, once again, I don't expect. And if you expect that President Biden would nominate somebody who's a substantial Second Amendment advocate for that position, you'd be wrong. And I wouldn't expect that. I wouldn't expect that. But this is over the top. This is like having Wayne LaPierre running ATF. I mean, you know, it's like Oliver North running ATF. How this is not, there's nobody there to say, hey, this is probably too far. It's probably too far. So that's the situation that stands right now, that you have somebody who, and I see your comments here on them, yeah, that is saying a lot of things that are, some of the things are not just I disagree with the opinion. That's where you battle it out in the Coliseum of ideas. But he's saying things that are not true as well. And this is the person they want to run the ATF. So there you go. That's kind of a little primer here. We will talk more about this going on forward. Dalton, just give me a heads up here. How about this? My gosh. Story. And where did I get it from? There's. We can go several places. None of them. You know, it's funny. I see the Guardian pop up here, too. Sometimes the Guardian, which is not American, it's English, does a better job with our news than other groups. But they're reporting now, let's see here, that the Minnesota officer that shot, yeah, here it is. And this from CNN, a breaking update from CNN. Here we go. 20-year-old man was fatally shot during a traffic stop after a Minnesota police officer shouted taser but fired a handgun instead of a non-lethal stun gun, according to Brooklyn Center Police Chief Tim Gannon said in the presser today. Hundreds of people protested Sunday night. This is CNN. They protested Sunday night after a black man in Minnesota was shot by a police officer and died following a traffic stop. Shooting happened Sunday in the Minneapolis suburb of Brooklyn Park, about 10 miles from where former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin is on trial for killing another black man, George Floyd. Let's make sure we get everybody's race in here. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz identified the man killed in Sunday night's incident as Dante Wright. So what they're saying, but the new piece, you heard that over the weekend, but the new piece is that the officer, they said she shouted taser but fired her handgun instead. I tell you what, coming up tomorrow on the show, talking about what the training would be, how you would not know what weapon you were deploying. I've got, it's Ask the Sheriff, you know, once a month, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran joins us. So I'm going to ask him about that, how the training works on that, how you, and I wonder if this is not part, I wonder how long this officer has been on the force. I'm going to guess, I may be wrong. Not a long time. And that's one of the problems, too. This is a self-fulfilling prophecy. When these things happen and you see the backlash against law enforcement, then fewer people sign up for law enforcement or they leave because of attitudes against law enforcement, then you don't have the institutional wisdom that's needed to do that job. What a tragedy. It says Minnesota officer shouted taser but fired a gun instead. My gosh. So we'll talk about that as well. Also coming up tomorrow, people have latest questions on vaccines. Dr. Scott Chavers joins us tomorrow about the rollout there. I don't know. You saw the Johnson & Johnson stuff? Yikes. I'm going to ask about that tomorrow. Reactions to that vaccine. There are multiple vaccines, but Johnson & Johnson getting some stories around that. We'll ask Dr. Chavers about that. Oh, yeah. Somebody asked me. It's horrible. Somebody asked me this weekend when I would be reporting the first vaccine overdose story. Not that something's wrong with it, but somebody... I don't think people will OD on... I don't think people will go take so many vaccines. They're like, what if they keep going back and getting more? I don't think... I just don't think that's going to be an issue. For some reason, I don't think that's going to be what we have to fear. That people will be going... They said, you know, well, what if they went in and got it and then, you know, said they didn't get it and go back and get some more? I'm like, there's a lot of things to pay attention to and possibly worry about for some people. People ask me this. I'm like, I don't think that's an issue. I don't think, do y'all think there's a chance that people be scamming the system to get them more of the vaccine than they're supposed to take? I don't think that's right. Dalton's coming in here with what? So they just said, do you think somebody's, because they're asking me about the vaccine passport stuff, and they said, I heard you ranting about vaccine passport. And I said, yeah, I don't think that we need to, you know, let me see your papers card here. They said, well, if they don't do that, they can go back and just get multiple.
Yeah, just to be safe, right? An extra dose.
So somebody's going to, somebody will go OD on vaccine.
It has happened.
What?
But accidentally. They accidentally double dosed someone. Just about a month ago, I saw they had two
But they were
doses.
Not aware of it. They weren't pulling a scam to go get him some more
Neither
vaccine.
Neither of them realized he was getting the double dose until he got the double dose. And then I think a pretty severe allergic reaction, basically, for getting twice and everything.
So make sure
fine.
You ask, hey, is this just one dose?
Yeah, make sure you're getting the single dose there.
See, just when I thought it was too ridiculous. Well, there we go. All right, filmmaker Robert Clem joins us next. His upcoming documentary about Admiral Raphael Sims. Fascinating stuff coming up in just minutes, right after the news.